92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
All right, the red light's on, so we're going. That's it. That's time. No countdown. No ridiculously 2.5 minute StreamYard countdown. We're live. It's just how we do it. So,
sir,
what's up? We have two amazing guests. Oh, I got the notification that we're live. I love it. Aaron the Dog, the one and only.
Yes, sir.
Boston Comments, aka Bonnie, aka the Goat. Whatever you want to say. She's the best.
Internationally known at this point.
I know. World famous. Yeah, we're on Facebook. I'm going to share it around some other stuff. We're on Aaron the Dog's MMA channel as well, too. So.
Hey, thank you, thank you. Let me go ahead and share that around as well.
There we go. But all right, so I had, you know, we knew we were going to do this, so I had so many talking points, and the judges gave us some stuff to talk about, and I thought the card was awesome going into it. A lot of stars. I have some really good questions for you guys, but the ending was definitely where we should start, and then not even that. So – the studio from my house is 8 minutes. So I get in my car and I'm coming here, guys. And The Greatest Showman's on my phone, and it's already Bluetooth in. So that's on a loop.
But I'm like,
the soundtrack, of course. But I was like, I need something fighty to talk about. Like, I don't want to start a podcast, you know? And so I turn on TJ DeSantis and Pearl Gonzalez on UFC Fight Pass, their show, their extra round show.
Oh, sweet.
And they talking about TJ. And, dude, I was a TJ guy years ago and all that stuff, but they were talking about TJ, like, how he overcame adversity and, what a beautiful thing, and he's a superhero. I was like, wait a second, guys. He, like, was Mr. EPO. He was on more – it's like Jose Canseco is calling TJ calling TJ Dillashaw to see how to get through the steroids, and Chael Sonnen was, like, a baby to TJ, like – he put that on himself. So going into the fight, I thought Corey Sandhagen was Superman, and I thought TJ was Lex Luthor. Am I not on the same page here with someone?
No, you're spot on with that. I think the world agrees.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of, like, random TJ fans, but, like, I mean, I was rooting heavy for Corey, and I'm really mad at him.
Yeah, unfortunately, the advertisement going into this one, I'm a big movie guy, right? I love my movies. I don't watch trailers because you'll watch the trailer and then you'll go into a movie. All of a sudden, you'll be like, "What? This isn't the movie I wanted to see at all." Like, I just, you know, I'd rather just be surprised. But with this, you go into the week with the trailers, with the documentaries showing a crying TJ in a hoodie talking about how it's so hard that he cheated and it didn't work out for him. Even, you know, the pre-fight interviews, he's like, I wouldn't cheat again because it didn't even help me. Like,
That's such a dumb thing to say, man.
I know. Like,
and so, yeah, I mean, it's just like to get to the end of the – first of all, the last two fights of the night were insane.
Yeah.
I feel like Rulian Paiva and Kyler Phillips, if that doesn't win fight of the night, there's a serious, serious problem. But Rulian Paiva, I mean, that was insane. But we go from that, I think, one of the best fights of the year, frankly, when we get to the end of the year, when you're really stacking up fights, if you don't look at just stakes here. And then we get to this fight where it starts out so great for Corey. The first round and second round, it's going well. He's a little bit flashy, but it's also just like, okay, take away the flash, just go back to, you know, some substance here and you'll get it. But real quick, Dave, we talked before the fights. You talked about how Corey Sandhagen was one of your favorite plays of the week. I put some brakes on that. I did say I agreed on the pick, but I was cautious. We don't know what's in TJ's blood at this point. We never will know what's in TJ's blood. All of a sudden, this guy's coming on in rounds 3, 4, and 5 at 35 years old, just like – he's on something. So regardless.
No, point well taken, and then but I want you to run with it after this. I will say TJ's always had a good motor and a good gas tank. You don't know when he started doing stuff, or, you know, was it his second UFC fight? Was it on the Ultimate Fighter? Was it his title fight with Barral and then afterwards? So we never knew, but it seemed like he's, you know, some guys just have that. A guy that doesn't have that is Puna Soriano. We'll get there later. Some guys just have a motor that can go, and some guys don't. So, you know, no, but I agree. It's crazy.
Maybe. I mean, and I'll admit this is not a fair position I'm putting TJ in, because if he was going to win, I was going to come out with this narrative. But I also believe once you have cheated, whether you've admitted to it or not, you don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. So, sorry. Yeah. Close decisions should always go against people who egregiously miss weight or people who cheat. That's just my opinion.
I am happy it was a close decision and not a highway robbery, like a couple of other fights that I would like to discuss. But I mean, there's just that decision was, I think, incorrect. I'm still mad about it. So I'm trying to come down from my anger of yelling at the TV for the last
hour. I'll give TJ credit that at least he did ask for a title fight, but he also said if the title fight's not there, that he's willing to fight whoever else is in the
Yeah, top. I like that.
He has to. He's took 2 years suspension. You have to earn your way back up. You don't.
But he could have sounded like that. He doesn't have to. That's that sad part here. He could have just played a petulant.
Yeah, he could have said, "I'm the bantamweight champion. I never lost the title. Right. I just beat Corey Sandhagen, who's the number one guy. Like he's
so dumb though."
And with how the UFC makes decisions at this point, that would have more guaranteed TJ a title shot than what he did here. So that's a little bit of – that's as much props as I'm going to give TJ Cheetah shot.
Moving real quick with TJ, last thing on that, and then I really want to go to Corey. If he doesn't fight for the title, just say something happens with Jan and Sterling, and I feel like it is going to happen. With something, it's October 30th. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Who does TJ Dillashaw fight next?
So I'll go first. I was gonna let Bunny go first, but she I would say at this point we look at, you know, the top five here. Who does TJ Dillashaw fight next if it's not for the title?
Not a title match, and just say something.
For one, his eye is gonna be fucked up for a while here.
So I'm thinking at least 9 months.
So at this point, you know, I think very likely he is what up, Larry? Very likely. Maybe he's well aware that this is an injury that's going to take some time. So might as well say the right thing here. And then in 9 months, the timing's going to line up. I'm going to be in a title fight. We got Colby Covington fighting for a title coming up. I mean, at this point, unless they put TJ Dillashaw against a Sean O'Malley type, they try to really force that kind of play. I don't see what else there is to do. They would never do a rematch with Sandhagen, which would be the ultimate right move to do in 9 months. I'm not a big immediate rematch guy, especially when it's not a title, but this should be a rematch. It should be round six.
No, that's the right answer. That's so funny. I'm not either, especially if it's not a title, who's the champion, who's been like a long-standing champion, they lose, they should get the title match back. Like, I thought about it right away. I'm like, so if something happens with Sterling and Jan, I'm like, dude, I would love to see this fight again, you know, February 10th, and they just run it back. Like, winner fights for the title.
It was so close. I mean, and TJ exploded way more than I thought he would, honestly.
Yeah.
I really am. I like the way TJ fights, but again, the steroid controversy really threw a wrench in how I feel about him, but seeing that ran back again would be cool because it was so close.
Yeah, and it makes sense with the positioning. I mean, so I think the two options I gave are the two options the UFC has to go with the timing and everything.
Right.
You know, and like I said, I'm not a big immediate rematch guy. I'm not a big look at his face guy, because that's not how the UFC is judged. But I do think that, you know, I hope maybe the conversation steers towards thinking about changing how fights are judged here, because I have been saying this for a long time, not just to change how fights are judged, but I do not believe judges are scoring fights round by round as they're going. I believe that judges are forgetting or believing, oh, this fight's going to be stopped, and not keeping track round by round, getting to the end of the fight and then just judging the fight pride style and forgetting they need to go round by round. There's other fights in this card where you can go, where are the two rounds for the fighter? Macy Barber. Where
are that one is rounds? Absurd.
Like you can't win a round when you land six significant strikes. But what doesn't get judged by the judging for whatever reason is defense. It's like every other sport. Defense, while it wins championships, is not valued by the organizations. Macy Barber was not landing these strikes that she was throwing. And yet Miranda has one of the best striking defenses in the entire UFC division. But that doesn't get recognized. The judges see a woman moving forward, throwing, not landing, and they don't understand that missing should count against the other fighter. So it's like the judging here, I do not believe, was going round by round. Because when you go round by round, it is 3-2 Sandhagen, period.
Yeah, I had a 3-2 Sandhagen. That's what I had. But with that being said,
judge it round by round, you get to the end of the fight. I'm sorry, and then you can go, but Bunny.
No, I hear what Dave was
going to
say.
The judging, for one, it's like it's one of those things, like it's so crazy. I don't think it's ever going to change, or there's always going to be bad judges, all of that nature. You probably heard me say this 30 times. If you had an open scoring, so if Corey saw the score that he was maybe down, maybe into that round 3-1, maybe. Or if it was 2-2.
Open scoring is going to cause different issues. That's the problem. Open scoring causes just another set of issues. That's the thing. Like, it's just – like, and they do it. It's
a great idea, Larry.
Larry, that's called bare knuckle FC.
I was also going to say 1FC. I didn't want to quite throw bare knuckle under, but 1FC with their hydration testing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Turn this into a judging discussion.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But the thing is, sometimes the judges get it right. Like, they got it right with the Paiva and Phillips fight. I think that could have been judged either a draw if you gave that a 10-8 first round or to Paiva. So it's like they do it right in one, and since then there's the Maverick fight that they got completely wrong, and then there's the Dillashaw fight that they got pretty wrong. But
fights like the Maverick fight make you wonder how they can make such an egregious mistake if fans everywhere are losing their minds over, like, if we, you know, if there's such a clear lean towards who was the clear winner in a fight like that, it's like, what did they see and what did they score? I want to know what they
Great point, for one. Love the point. The two things. One, being there live, sitting there at the cage, it's a lot different from on the screen. Like, just last weekend, throwing it out there, not trying to name drop everything, commentating the fights, like, you're in the thing right here, but when shit's happening on the other side of the corner, I know it sounds crazy, it's, you don't get the best view. Like,
you don't get the stats for whatever reason.
Yeah, you don't get the stats.
Which doesn't make sense. You hear... Also, I have a question. Mm-hmm. When did TJ Dillashaw get to come with an entire pep rally to his fights? Because, man, every half takedown, it was like vuvuzelas were going off. It was like insane in there. There was a pinata.
The Olympics are on, not the World Cup. It's the Olympics, bro, right?
Like, this was wild. And these judges are dumb enough to have that influence them in an empty ass apex. Maybe. Like, when did he get this pep rally pass?
To be fair to TJ, in all fairness, Corey missed several opportunities to finish TJ.
Yes.
That's on Corey, and that can't be forgotten.
But we did hear Toby Amato.
It's one of those things. He hesitated.
Corey Sandhagen was late to work. Then he drove 55 and a 35, and now he's mad at the cop because he got pulled over. Like, we've been talking 9 minutes about judging. Dude, like, if I looked Corey in the face, I'd be like, oh, hi, Mr. Corey Sandhagen. That's first of all. And then secondly, I'm like, dude, like, he turned off the gas at the wrong moments. Like, sometimes I feel like if he had 15 more seconds, like he cracked TJ 3-5 times in that fight. You're like, whoa. And then Corey would back off for like 9 seconds and then try again. It's like,
he wanted that fancy finish, man. He wanted that Frankie Edgar finish with the knee. He was going for the knee spinning back. Like, you need to go the safe road and just go with the straight and get that cut and fucking finish it. 5 rounds he could have finished him and didn't.
And Larry Dowes Jr., a true legend. I'm just going to throw it like that.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, no, I agree. Corey just, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. Just he was just a tad off.
Frustrating.
And I think it was a definitely big lesson learned. You can see him afterwards. He wasn't happy. He wasn't the moral victory. He wasn't happy that DC was, you know, ha-ha, like this was a great fight. Like he was pissed off, and it was one of those things that transitions us to this.
Miranda and Puna needed the Okay.
I think I half agree.
And I'm gonna kind of steal it. Aaron the dog here, like he's always talked about how MMA losses sometimes will get you better. I think Miranda and Puna, I think this is a great thing for them, and they will be back and better 2 years from now. Like the trajectory that they were in, they were gonna be a good fighter, contender fighter, top 5-7 in their class. With this happening, this loss happening now, both of them can get over it and become top three or even one day contender or title, you know, challenger. I think it's going to be good for him long run.
All right. See, I don't think – sometimes I don't think of stuff like that when I'm mad over scoring and stuff. I don't really think see the logic behind why or, like, the you know, the light with the dark. It's like, fuck that. The scoring was incorrect and I'm pissed. But then Dave, like a little angel that he is, comes in and he's like, whoa. Might be a good thing. So I don't know. I like positivity.
I mean, so here's Miranda Maverick at this point. She is what, 7-3, 8-3 now? Is that her record? 8-3. She's lost to Deanna Bennett. She's now got a loss to Macy Barber. I'm not sure who else she has a loss to, but it was early on, somewhere in like the Invicta, I believe. But so, and she's 24 years old. She lost to a 23-year-old Macy Barber, who had two losses. Macy Barber's two losses coming to Roxanne Mataferi when she was a minus 850 favorite.
And she tore her ACL.
Correct. She tore her ACL. Fought the rest of the fight, however, on that ACL. Had to take the entire media. Look at how she's handling the media, even in this split decision here. She answered the questions afterwards, and she's like, I just don't – like, I know that Twitter – I know I won. I don't really care if I – you know, but congratulations, Drew.
Cool.
Dollar Billy Shaw is a super cool nickname. I'm sure he came up with that. But, yeah, I think that for Miranda, you saw even coming into this fight – first of all, she's a very intelligent, very aware fighter. I will say that much. I mean, she was trained with Jillian Robertson leading into this fight. I'm a huge fan of when fighters train with opponents afterwards. I think that is, like, very cool for both of them. But
you're a big fan of Jillian Robertson?
I've heard it once or twice. I think so. But, you know, I got a little – I'll talk to you about afterwards a little insight I got from the Savage. So that will be for after the show. That's called
guys can Venmo me $20 and I will spill the beans at David Van Auken. The Venmo are open.
Yep, Dave is not a vault, but with this, I mean, it's tough because I think that for Miranda, she was having problems with fighting a young prospect. I kind of had a problem with that on a few of these awesome matchups, how it's you're canceling out divisions in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's no reason really for Macy to fight Miranda at this point. I mean, a 24 and a 23-year-old with 10 fights both in their careers, like, this could have happened in a few years. So it's a little weird there, but now I think it allows both fighters. I mean, Macy clearly is not trying to rush her way to a title anymore. She's calling out Jessica I. What the hell on that call out, first of all? Yeah, I think Miranda, she was being crowned way too quickly as the next up and coming on the, with regards to the division. I don't think she was ready for the top five, the top. So I do think this loss was helpful. And Macy, yeah, I think, is smart enough to know not to rush herself. So calling out someone like Jessica I is very smart as well for her. I mean, I personally want to see King Casey O'Neill versus Macy. I've been wanting to see Casey versus Macy for a while.
You saw what King Casey wrote?
Yep. Meh.
Yeah. because they said like those, these are the two best flyweight prospects in the world, and King Casey right away goes, they're two of the three best flyweight prospects.
Yeah. And I personally, I personally think she is the best of those three, and I think she'd show it. Give her Miranda Maverick. I don't care. I personally have a lot of matchups I want to make in the flyweight division. Not just with Jillian Robertson. So there.
Sweet. And
Puna.
Yeah, on to Puna.
Yeah, you can go, but go on to Puna. But Puna was the older of the two guys in this fight. I just want to say that much.
He is, but this was his. He was 8-0. So this was his ninth run. Brandon was LFA middleweight champion. Brandon's had a lot of experience. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's one of my favorites. I texted him 3 days ago. I'm a big All-In Allen guy. I think Puna just needs a second way to win. I think he has the big overhand lefts, and he wants to finish a fight within 4 minutes. And if he doesn't, it doesn't go good for him. I thought the cardio wasn't great there at the end of the third round. I thought Allen won the fight easy, and it was just one of those things like, hey, dodge that big overhand left. Get better, but I think Puna's that good, and he's always going to have that skill. I think that left is always going to be there. I think he just needs to develop. He needs more time and more cage time. He needs to fight good guys. I think Allen is just a step. He's just a level ahead of him.
That was a great fight.
Whew. Yeah, loved it.
That was a really good fight.
Yeah, I like the fight a lot. I do think that Puna is always kind of going to be Puna. I know it's hard. You know, he's only 28 years old. I want to see some more development, but he was this guy against Jamie Pickett.
So you think this is the best Puna we're going to see?
I think he's going to get to around this level and kind of be right outside the top 15 for most of his career. I do think that there were opportunities.
Like Brad Tavares.
Worse. Not
wow.
Not. Yeah. Brad Tavares has some of the best takedown defense. Brad Tavares has the most decisions in UFC history. Brad Tavares has more than one way to beat you. I think that while he looks like Brad Tavares, he does not fight like Brad Tavares. And I don't mean that to sound like funny, but in my breakdown, I think I even made that error of saying looks like a Brad Tavares, walks like a Brad Tavares. No, does not fight like a Brad Tavares, though. He throws one technique, and he throws it over and over again, even against Oscar Peixota, when he finally got the finish, it was with the same technique he'd been hitting the whole fight. With Dusko Todorovic, it was the same technique over and over, and he kept hitting it. Against Brendan Allen, he was hitting that same technique early, and Brendan was ready to be put out of there at a certain point when he had his back against the cage, and he really, I get he was shelled up, but there was a real opportunity there. And then after that, I think that body kick is going to be a bane of Punahele's existence for the rest of his career because every single fighter is going to do that body kick that Brendan Allen had.
Yeah.
That it's there. It's just the way he fights presents a very large, soft body to their opponent to just kick like it's a heavy bag. Even Brendan said it in the post where he said it felt like I was kicking air. That's not good.
Damn.
That's not good.
I got a really cool, fun question that I know will go into 10 different ways. Bunny, do you have any thoughts on Puna or Miranda? Do you think this L's were good for him, either one, or you think, no, it's a fight and you want to win every time you get in there?
No, I enjoyed the fight. I don't really have anything to add to that one. I didn't have a dog in either fight there. It was just a fun one to watch.
Okay, very cool. All right, fun question. We're going to have Bunny answer first, then Aaron, and then, hey, maybe people will chime in. Or then,
oh, my God.
I think it's going to go a couple different ways. You ready?
Okay. I'll try to be ready.
The fun question of the night, UFC Vegas 32. Three studs I thought got three great wins. Who could be a world champion in the UFC? Could it be Brendan Allen, Macy Barber, or Adrian Yanez?
Oh, this is such a tough question because I have some I'm buddies with someone on this list, so I'm going to try to answer pretty unbiased. not a huge fan of – I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Macy Barber, so okay. I'm going to have to hide my bias there. I enjoyed Allen tonight, but I'm going to go with Adrian Yanez. I don't know. He's a fun little spitfire. I think he's got good potential. He's young. He's scrappy. You guys go first. I'm brave.
So Macy Barber's your friend. We got it. We get it. So Macy Barber and Bunny are friends. So let's see. I mean, we've got the toughest division of the three of these is middleweight, in my opinion, I think, for Brendan Allen to crack. With what he's shown in front of him, I just think that there's a lot of things that concern me with Brendan Allen, I'll be honest. For one, he's forgotten he's a grappler. That really is not a good look, bro. Like, you got to get back to your grappling. You are not a full 100% striker. You're expiring your career much faster than it needs to, and this is why at 24, 25 years old, you're thinking about retiring from MMA, is because of how you're fighting. Get back to your grappling. Use your submissions. I wanted to see those in this fight, and to not see it at all was concerning. So not going to be
better fighters in that division anyways. I just don't think he's
– Yeah, and there's always more and more guys.
Like,
yeah, bro, like, how are you going to be all – you know, I just don't –
The only way he beats Izzy is by going back to his grappling and his submission game. If True. This is the thing. So until he gets over his Jorge Grigel syndrome, I'm not going to be taking Mr. Allen. So he's going to be out. It's down to my buddy Adrian Yanez or Macy Barber. So this is a tough one because, I mean, Shevchenko only has so many years left and Barber has 15 more years realistically in front of her. You know, I mean, 38. She'd be 38. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, she's gone through some injuries, but still, I mean, Macy Barber, I think, does have the division with the most potential to make her way towards the top here.
Totally agree.
If Shevchenko's out of there, who do you put in front of Macy Barber to win that title, really? Suarez, if she can come back and keep her neck together, yes, but we haven't seen that for a long time. There's other fighters for sure that could, you know, be a problem, but I think that Macy Barber has a really good chance. Giannis, I also love, and he's got, I think, some of the best boxing in the division. Guys like Corey Sandhagen, these lengthy 135ers are going to give him a problem. He looked short and small in there until he got past that 7-minute mark with Costa. With Costa, he's never had to win over 2 minutes.
Right, yeah. Costa kind of gassed out 7 minutes. Sandhagen didn't gas out in 25. Like, imagine if Giannis had to go against Sandhagen. That is a horrific matchup. Like, horrific.
Yeah. So by default, I'm going to say Macy Barber has the best chance to be world champion of this list.
Agreed.
I think the list is kind of crap, though. Not crap. That was me.
Damn.
I thought it was a great list,
Dave. I don't
think
any of them will be world champ. That's
That's fine. I didn't say has to be world champ. Right. One of those three best.
All right, guys.
Chance to be world champ.
Bunny is coming out swinging.
I'm about to call Taylor Starlin on you and give her your address. You don't want that smoke.
Yeah. Then location.
Bunny versus Taylor at the next bare knuckle. Let's
then
go.
Location.
Then location.
I just thought these are three young, really good fighters. Prelim, main card. I think all three of them, you don't talk to them about being world champions. Like Corey and TJ's there. The co-main event, I almost picked Kyler, but then he lost. So I was like, these three are the buzz names out of the card.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a great question, Dave. And I think
talking shit. When you get so sensitive all of a sudden, are you kidding?
I'm just talking shit. Wow, I'm just talking shit back. This is what always happens is that I'll be like, I'm joking. And then or someone will be like, I'm joking. I'll be like, I also was joking. And now you've ruined the joke. Because by saying you were joking, like, you thought I didn't know you were joking. You think I wasn't talking shit here? Like, come on. What are we here to do?
Talk is send location.
Send location. Brendan Allen, I think, might have maybe, like, the best career out of these three in a weird way. I think he's going to be, like, a mainstay top 10 middleweight for 10 more years. Like, he's going to win three, lose one, maybe, you know, win two, lose one. Those top guys, but like I know he wants that Ian Heinisch fight so bad, but Ian Heinisch has lost 5 out of 6 now. So I don't. Ooh. I think Allen's passed him.
Doesn't he want Strickland again?
Huh?
Doesn't he want Sean Strickland again?
I don't know.
he keeps calling him out. He literally called him out in the interview afterwards. He's like, he's fighting next week. Like, I still want that fight back. Like, I give him credit. He's not going to get that fight back, but I give him credit for because you know. Like, if he really did come into that fight, I know every fighter always says, I came in compromised, I came in injured. But if he really knows he came in not the way he should have for that fight, I mean, he's calling it out. It's not just one fight later. He's been calling this out 2 fights, 3 fights later. Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, the optics of that don't look good. So if he's doing it, I really kind of, but either way, he's not fighting I think a Gastelum would be like, too high, so it's like really tough to know where Allen's at this point, like what you set him up with.
9 out of 10 wins. Brendan Allen's won 9 out of 10 and lost to Sean Strickland, who's on a freaking tear, who's a minus what 200, 220 versus
minus 220.
220 versus Uriah Hall, who like seems like every 2 years he gets a buzz of about to be a title contender, like every 2 years that happens. So I think that's a – I would love to see that again. I don't think the UFC – there's a, like you said, yeah, there's other middleweights for them to go at. Like a rematch out of those two guys, I don't think a lot of fans will get up for it. It just kind of doesn't make sense to it.
Well, just because Strickland's not going to take it if he wins a fight.
Yeah.
So the only way he takes is if he loses, and then why would Brendan Allen take the fight then at that point?
Or – how about Uriah Hall on Wednesday says, you know, my stomach doesn't feel good and I'm out. And Brendan's like there and, you know, maybe didn't get beat up. Short notice takes.
I hope you're not his manager, Dave. I really, really hope you're not.
Brendan. I'm trying to get Brendan Allen 40 and 40, man. Come on, I'm working on it. I'm working
Dave
on it.
Dave is not the next Ali Abdelaziz. That is official. Ali would never do that to one of his fighters. And Dave tried to get him killed. Next week. What the hell?
Unbelievable.
One good question, and he all of a sudden is like, here's another hypothetical for you.
I don't think it was that good of a question.
I like that question.
Nah, well, I guess you and Bunny are in agreement there.
Oh, goodness. Also, kind of just a vibe that I got from it, and just talking to a lot of people this week. I don't know if how many guys you guys talked to or, you know, just DM'd about the fights. It felt like it was a big fight feel. Like, a lot of people were like, dude, this is a pay-per-view. Like, this is a really good fight card, a really good main event. And I thought about, like, the Olympics are on, legitimately, that we were watching it as a family today.
Aww,
we watched Bare Knuckle FC last night. Aww. And, you know, I'm such a football, basketball guy, too. But, like, I just can't – I don't know how else to explain it to non-fight fans. There is nothing, absolutely nothing like a big fight feel. Nothing. Like – next
it
week
had pay-per-view feels.
Yeah, it really did. Like, it had like this huge feel. Next week is good, but it's like it doesn't have a buzz. Like, there, next week is buzzless.
Sanhagen Dillashaw fight was promoted big time.
Yeah,
no, it was 2 years off. TJ's coming back after this huge thing, you know, and Sanhagen coming off that crazy win, it was promoted big. So people were fired up, you know, the casual viewer and, you know, long-term fans. So it was a good one. But next week is a little bit, I agree, it's a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
And yeah, but if afterwards the fights are insane, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just like, for me, I find myself every single week finding a way to go, I can't wait. I can't wait. Like, it's just like I'm talking about the Fury FC tomorrow. Like, I'm excited to watch tomorrow's Fury FC. I'm excited to watch Bellator next week. Like, to me, like, buzz almost screws up fights a lot of times. Tonight we got lucky that the highly buzzed main event came through, but sometimes it really screws with the fighters and they fight with so much to lose that they hold back when the, like, and that, it's just
Corey
like,
Sanhagen.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Aaron. I'm
always going to argue from the hardcore perspective. Okay.
Oh, yeah, thank you. This is the thing. Right.
No matter what, I'm never going to be like, you're right. Like, I don't care about that. Like, about those people. Like, I care about my people, which are the people who watch the damn prelims.
But you don't think? But would you want more of your people?
So more, I don't know, because yes, I want more people. I would want more of my people, but the more people that get involved in the sport, the more type of judging that we have tonight that happens, where uninformed opinions start getting involved more. Money, I don't know. Yeah, like they should fight to the death.
Aaron Cameron is very Ryan's- strict. He's got a high standard. I like it.
Yeah, I really do. And it's like, so I'm looking at next week's card.
Oh,
right?
Damn.
Hammer, a little too far there, dude.
We don't want to see anyone die, dude.
I mean, he looks like such a cheery guy, though, from that picture. So.
I'm sorry, Cameron. He didn't mean that.
So I look at next week's card, and I'm as a hardcore fan gets, right? So, like, I'm trying to find this fight to change your...
We don't even hold a candle to him, do we?
Trying to find the fight to change the... Whatever. My point is, I'm gonna be watching every single week, it's all good, Cameron. I was
just talking. Cameron, all good,
dude.
We've
been talking shit to each other all night.
Exactly.
We're 35 minutes of just shit talking and a little bit of TJ Dillashaw.
I mean, here's the thing: we know next week is not like this week. Not all cards are created equal. Next week, I'm just glad we have fights. But Cheyenne Baez is fighting third from the top, so that's how good of a card this is.
I'm excited for it. I mean, it
that's insane. Cheyenne Baez.
What do you guys think of the pay per view in 2 weeks?
So the pay per view in 2 weeks, I'm super pumped for.
We're super pumped for every non pay per view So our answers are going to be the same.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I'm just not the person to ask what do you want specifically to know about 265. I think that Ciryl Gane goes in there and absolutely puts another technical masterpiece on Derek Lewis. I think most likely it's a decision.
I like Ciryl a lot.
He's my favorite heavyweight fighter.
He just knows what the fuck he's doing. And Lewis's power, he's like a, you know, just all power and rage. But like Ciryl.
And actually, I like it. It's one of those, the iconic, perfect matchups of if Lewis gets that shot, he's going to knock him out, right? Or if he gets the connection in Houston, the crowd will be behind him. And Gane will be the puzzle maker, the chess player. And it's a perfect match. It really is. Well, also, anytime Amanda fights, I don't know. It's one of those things.
You got to treasure it.
Is there anyone out there that thinks Kenya's going to win?
She is the greatest female fighter in the history of the sport.
I just want to know.
Is there anybody picking Kenya to win?
No. I said, is there anybody out there picking Kenya to win?
No. But it's going to happen. She will get upset.
I mean, she'll get up. It's like you either stay in too long or you get out, and then everybody talks about it for a long time. And unless you're Khabib, who it was always.
We got Aldo, Chizé, we got Luque. Oh my God, there's so many fucking people fighting on this card.
That's what I'm saying. So you gotta have that.
Yes, Luque is the fight of the night.
Yes, no doubt. Look at this fucking card, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so good.
Yeah, it's a really solid card, but you know, it's like the thing is, you need cards like next week's card, because you've got to set up other people to be able to supply for the prelims. You got to be able to set up other people that the way we get to know the people next week that we're not yet the people we're circling is by what they do next week. A Colin Anglin can come in and have a really good performance. Monir Lazez comes in and has like. It's just like these guys, you know, I mean, are here for a reason. And I think with Lazez, he had one good performance and one not good performance. So we don't really know yet. But we look at how Imavov recovered from his bad performance. Like, Imavov is going to be a very good fighter at middleweight for a long time, I think, after how he did tonight. So it's like we don't know till it gets there. Like, I mean, I'm always going to be pumped. I'm breaking down Fury FCs. I'm going to be breaking down a UFC card. So it's like 15 fights. I'm not going to complain. Any Saturday without UFC, I'm very upset about. Honestly, I don't know what to do.
I forget to myself on Saturdays without fights.
Yeah, I feel like go
it's like a day off. Music. It's weird. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're up at 4 a.m. recording music videos. But all right, one last question for you guys. And then if you guys want to talk stuff at the end, we can talk stuff, or we'll leave it and have a good night. Actually, sleep good. It's not 2:15 a.m. It's amazing. But
yeah, it's an early start or early start. So
love it. Aaron, your first answer. Bunny, your second. The question is, will Corey Sandhagen ever fight for the UFC championship?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm trying not to overreact after tonight, because if he would have won tonight, he would have been fighting for a championship. And he was very close, and in my opinion, he had it. Man, I just think that he can correct the issues that he had in this fight. He's going to look back at this fight in a few weeks when he does view it and realize, you know, a lot of fighters say they lost fights that the other guy beat him, if that makes sense. This fight he lost. I think, yes, TJ beat him in certain sense, but I think I think Corey made a lot of decisions here that he can adjust and correct. And this is, I think, the first time he's gone five rounds. So that's a super invaluable kind of point or experience to come from. He didn't take any excruciating damage here. He's going to be okay. Like, I mean, and this division is quickly moving. I mean, you know, the problem is if Sterling loses, he's going to be on an issue where he has to face a Sterling again. He has to face a TJ Dillashaw. He has to face a Jan and Aldo, even an O'Malley. Like, the problem is the division he's in, which is maybe the best division in the sport.
Yeah, but it's really exciting.
You said O'Malley 2-3 times tonight, Aaron, by the way. Just throwing it out there.
Can you stop bringing him up, by the way?
You are
It's an unfortunate reality of the U.S. Right. division we're in. So, you know, I'm not an O'Malley fan at all, but like the thing is, you said fight. You didn't say win a championship. I'm going to say yes. Eventually he fights for a UFC championship.
Okay. Bunny, what do you think?
I'm also on the fence because Aljo, I mean, I'm on the fence. Tonight he's a very patient fighter, and I think that maybe it could be seen that the Edgar fight was a bit of a fluke with that fancy finish. So I don't know. What I saw tonight, I don't see as UFC championship material. I don't know.
Okay. So I'm
on the fence. I think if I were to see him and TJ run it back, I'd make a better decision. But I can't see him really facing some tough competition to get that opportunity. I mean, maybe eventually, but
he won this fight tonight. We all agree he won this fight tonight. He would be fighting for
against TJ, who I know he's explosive and very talented, but he also had a reach and a height advantage, and he had a finishing opportunities and didn't go for it. So you argue that that's there are mistakes that can be adjusted, or mm-hmm. I don't know, regress. You know, that's a tough question. It's a great question, but it's one I cannot answer.
Yeah, it's never great when you have one of your best performances in a loss. Also, I always say this to Gus.
Say that all the time.
Okay, yeah.
So it looked like we have one yes, one no, both kind of close, but I would say one yeah, one no. So the tiebreaker, I think 100%. I'm not on the fence at all on this. After watching this tonight, 29 years young, in the bantamweight division that everyone says is so great, the top, let's just be honest, it's a weak championship top of the division.
Look at him getting so excited.
And are they going to fight? And Aldo's up there. O'Malley's going to fight for the belt in 9 years from now, the way they're creeping him up. Oh, absolutely, Sandhagen fights for the title. Woo! Especially with this, I think TJ could win the belt. And I think this is a great rematch. It's a split decision. The poster's already done. They can literally just redo this poster to Sandhagen Dillashaw. I think he fights for the title within 2 years.
You couldn't wait to answer that question.
I had it.
Mean that I was right. That works for me.
I'm okay being wrong.
Yeah, you know, but
he's really good, guys. Like,
he's fun to watch too. He's like such a respectable guy. He's humble. He's calm. He's cool, collected.
When fighters lose, guys or girls, and they talk into the microphone, and sometimes you can hear them and be like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're really going to use this, if they're ever going to watch this or use this as fuel. Mm-hmm. Watching Corey Sandhagen, and this might be a hyperbolic thing right here, watched it for a minute and a half. he was legitimately pissed off and mad at himself. He never blamed the judges. He just said, hey, I thought I outlanded him with significant shots. I never felt hurt. My legs are banged up a little bit, but I'm fine. Like, I think he's going to use this to Corey Sandhagen 2.0 and just be a little bit more aggressive and start wrecking people. And, you know, he's really pale, doesn't go outside a lot. I think we'll be back in the gym very soon.
I like that answer. I'm a Corey fan, so I'm hoping, I'm rooting for him. I'm a tough critic, so.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm still salty over true. His loss tonight.
You come on the show and say my question sucks.
I said I was sorry.
Holy really God. Dumb question. That was tough.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
She mentions no words.
I take it back. It was a great question. I called this question great. I said this was a great question. They can't all be zingers, you know?
You know. Damn. Let's them down easy.
Crazy.
You can't all be zingers, Dave.
I know.
No, you're all zingers.
Do you two guys have anything you want to promote? Push. I know Aaron the Dog, MMA channel. Definitely everyone go subscribe. I'm going to make this into an audio podcast. I think I'm going to drop it as soon as possible. I am traveling somewhere on Wednesday to do a in-person live podcast. So I got, I'm very excited. I hate it beforehand because shit happens. Shit happens with me. Shit can happen with the fighter who I'm about to talk to. So I'm not going to say who it is, but I'm very, very excited to do this in-person podcast. So I want to get this out a way to give a buffer of 2-3 days of podcasting.
That's so exciting. Congrats. We're looking forward to hearing it. Oh, my God. I can't wait to see it.
I'm excited.
I'm excited.
But yeah. Bunny, do you have anything coming up or anything you need to plug?
Nope. Just follow Boston Comments on Instagram. More is in the works, but TBD.
Okay, Steve.
I'm really grateful you guys had me on, though. It was a really long day today, so I wasn't my usual explosive self. I was a bit more critical, and I apologize, but it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
No, you're great. You're great. Yeah, shout out to Bunny. I got the channel. Breaking down all LFAs, all Bellators. We got an LFA and Bellator next week, so Brandon of MMA Wagers will be with me. For those, also got the UFC breakdown show with Pooh Bear Battle. We got the second round of Tough starting next week. So Tuesday, Ricky Turrios is fighting, and he might be making an appearance on the channel on Thursday. But, yeah, just go ahead and subscribe to the channel. We got a Fury FC breakdown up for tomorrow's Fury FC, or Sunday's, I should say, Fury FC. So probably yesterday's when you're listening to this, if it's on audio. But either way, I'm breaking down Fury, breaking down LFA. I'm literally the only one breaking them down on YouTube. So just search those breakdowns. You'll find me.
Are you excited to pretty soon say, and UFC's Brian Pooh Bear Battle?
Yes.
I've been waiting to say it.
Happening soon.
I mean, we'll have to see. I've been saying the same thing from the beginning that, When he got out of his 5 weeks of taping, his face sure looked clean coming out of 5 weeks and two fights.
That's he looked very handsome. Very handsome.
really nice.
Super excited. So many big things are happening. We'll do this more often. We'll do this recap or preview or just one topic. It could be a crazy fight coming up or something controversial, and we'll just boom, jump three of us and just run with it.
Yes.
Always excited. I guess tonight, UFC Vegas 32, if I had to put a bow on it, crazy judging, some bad decisions. But I do say the fight with Sandhagen and TJ was awesome. Definitely a top five, top 10 fight of the year so far. Split decision. I thought Corey won the fight, but it was extra. I didn't feel it. Definitely not a robbery. I thought Corey won, but they gave it to TJ. And I was like, all right. It is what it is. And that's just, I think that's the UFC Vegas 32. Bo.
put a ring on it.
That's
put
right.
a ring on it. I loved it.
I loved it.
Thanks for
Thank
having
you,
me,
Boston
man.
Comments. Thank you, Aaron the Dog. And we'll talk soon.
Yes, please.
Have a good night, everybody.
Later, gang.
You're a savage, Bunny.